Blessings and greetings and blessings to those who are alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, in Chokhmah of Life, Torah Chesed, in Chokhmah of Kindness, Torah Rachamim, Chokhmah of Mercies. You're not tuned to blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest with a higher end of frequency of blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 614, Meditation Equals Wellsprings of the Human Soul Program, presentation number 38. Probably noticed we're not playing any segue introductory music. Sorry about that. There's some drilling taking place underneath our humble little dwelling, and so we're even the sound of my voice might not project as clearly as it usually does because I'm using a cell phone and not a landline. And with that being said, we have to do the best we can, and we're going to be plucking inspirations from the teachings of Hillel Hafarich, who is a faithful chassid, and in fact a tzaddik, and a mekubal, one who not only knew the Kabbalah, but was able to access the teachings in a very practical, implementable fashion. That being said as well, we're going to dedicate today's program to Ilui Nishmas of my father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov, Olav Shalom ben Chuna David, Olav Shalom. My father passed on April 17, 2016, which corresponds to the Hebrew calendar date of the 9th of Nisan, 5776. Also, we want to pass on our consolations, although for sure she's not hearing them, because she's now either before the burial of her mother, or her mother's in there, and she'd be sitting Shiva, customary 7 days of mourning, according to Judaic teachings. Cindy Greenstein one, mother Irene Greenstein, or Greenstein, excuse me, passed on over the past weekend, I believe, and she was 85 years old, 84. This is how we are now engaging in the elucidations of the Hilame Parch from Likuti Biorim, a gleaning of elucidations. And he was elucidating upon Os Aleph, the first chapter of the Shar Yuchud, the Gate of Unification, which was composed and spoken about and lived by to the essence of the soul. So these teachings came from the essence of the soul of the Mitla Rebbe, the second Chabad Rebbe, the first official Lubavitch Rebbe, Rav Shalom, of Lubavitch. In our previous presentations, the last two, succinctly, if we were to review quickly for you, we talked about the role of wise person, wise man, wise woman. Anyone who can take a teaching of Torah, learn it sufficiently to the point where they can actually make a kinyan, to acquire it, to integrate it within their own consciousness to the point where they can tap into the essence of that teaching according to their blessing, and then through a process of consideration of who they will teach the teaching to, will actually contract that teaching that it becomes more flexible, more malleable, more digestible for their students, those who they saw in their lifetimes, and we are their students as well. We have over 3,000 years of written and oral Torah traditions to drink in cognitively, spiritually, emotionally, and they bring it down. But we only get basically the superficial aspect of the presentation of this chacham, this wise person, wise man, wise woman, chachama, tzaddik, righteous man, tzaddika, righteous woman. And the procession is from above to below. The role of student, which most of us, including myself, are in, are basically proceeding from a place of lack of knowledge, lack of consciousness of such teachings of godliness, according to, in this particular case, the context we're talking about, the shita, the viewpoint, the presentation of Chabad Chassidus, an acronym for Chokhmah Bina Das, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge and connecting to the essence of that understanding and the essence of that wisdom. Is it upon us, if we wish to engage ourselves, to climb the mountain of consciousness to engage in the rivulets of allegories, the streams of allegories, the rivers of understanding, and the wellsprings of wisdom. So it is our job as students, and again, I speak of myself before anyone else, to climb this mountain of consciousness, which we first should not be surprised if we encounter again those tiny streams of allegories, cognitive allegories, those rivers of elucidation, understanding, and hopefully from there we can perceive the wellsprings of wisdom embedded in those streams or little ponds of allegories and those rivers of understanding. Rev Hillel wants us to take a step back now in his elucidation. And by the way, the sefer I'm reading from, or so to speak, extracting out such teachings to you, is extracted from the Ner Mitzvah Torah, or the candle is a mitzvah and Torah is light, from a unique book here, which is composed of two teachings, Shaar Emunah, the Gate of Faith, and one day hopefully we can share these teachings as well. Pluck out inspiration for your blessed souls, hopefully in a peaceful and pleasant manner. And the Shaar Yichud, which we're dealing with right now, the Gate of Unification. So Rav Hillel wants us to understand at this juncture of the elucidation, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, in the first column, let us consider the understanding which we can find embedded within wisdom, Havin B'Chokhmah. And let us understand that once there is the manifestation, the Metzius, tangible understanding and elucidation and comprehension, we shouldn't be surprised to find profundity, wisdom, Chokhmah, within what we have come to understand, what we have come to be able to discuss and elucidate upon in full measure. And Rav Hillel wants us to know, this is explained in the teachings of Chassidus at length. That is to clarify, we again take a deep breath and realize that all forms of hashpa, shefa, bounty come from the configuration and the reconfigurations of various types of osios. From Lashna Kosh, the letters of the holy tongue, the holy language, the original language of creation, by which Creator so chose, not that He was forced to, but so chose to create the creation with the Otis of Lashna Kosh, called Hebrew, but it's more than just a Hebrew language, because that has perhaps for some people ethnic overtones or even ethnocentric overtones. Basically, we, the Hebrew Israelite Jewish people, are basically caretakers of this language, because we were given this language, as all peoples were at the beginning of the creation, and then to the events which took place at the time of the Tower of Babel, Migdal Bovel, many nations, if not 99% of all nations, aside from the nation of Israel, forgot the Lashon HaKodesh. We still have it, we still share it. And we remind everyone that bounty comes down through various recombinations of the Shema Meforash, the explicit name, Shema Yuchad, the unique name, the Yud, followed by the Hey, followed by the Vav, followed by the Hey. I'm not going to pronounce the name right, because we are not allowed to. But that those four letters can be reconstituted to have other mathematical computations and values. The numerical value of the Yud followed by the Hey followed by the Vav followed by the Hey can be recombined to assume the numerical values of the following two names of the Creator. Shem Av, the name of Av, which is Ayin Beis, which is a numerical value of Ayin Beis, is where we spell out the Yud with a Yud Vav Dalet, and then the Hey with a Hey and then a Yud. The Vav with a Vav and a Yud and a Vav, and then the Hey with a Hey and a Yud. And then the Shem Sag, which is referring to the source of all understanding, is a Yud Vav Dalet, followed by a Hey and a Yud, followed by a Vav and an Aleph and a Vav, and then followed by a Hey and a Yud. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Hebrew, or especially for those of you who are not
familiar with these teachings, it just starts throwing out sounds of symbols. These names have great significance, blessed souls. But to make it more understandable, there is an investment in clothing of one name of the Creator with one permutation with a numerical value of 72 invested in clothes into the numerical value of 63 reconstitution of the letters of the Creator's name. And this assumes the quality of the source of Chacham Bechina, the wisdom that can be found in understanding. Now, what does that imply, the wisdom that can be found within understanding? Rav Hillel wants us to know that this is referring to understand a novel idea from within what already you have come to comprehend within your understanding. Meaning, in Torah, in the case where there is a opportunity, a decision, in a portion of the Torah known as the halakha, the law, whether or not to obligate party A or exempt party A from whatever they have been accused of doing, if it's wrongdoing, heaven forbid. So the scholar, the Talmud Chacham, the rabbi, the Dayan, the rabbinical judge, must look at all the facts and toss them around cognitively into their mind until they can learn out an obligation on the part of party A as doing something which was offensive or egregious to party B, or they can find them to be exempt from any sort of liability which party B is claiming party A did to them. And this type of elucidating the correct response to give in a case of party A being demanded of by party B can also lead to a scenario where Rav C or Rabbi C or Dayan C, Rabbinical Judge C, can look at all aspects of the case where A is exempt or A is liable to make some sort of, let's say, financial restitution to party B. At the same time, too, in the midst of finding that party A is required to make restitution to party B, they find that actually they shouldn't have to pay. And this idea, based on what they previously learned, and all of a sudden they get a chidush, a novel new idea, would be how we try to explain here what Rav Hillel is talking about, because he's talking about basically being able to flip over a case. Now, again, we're talking about someone who is totally objective. They have no interest in the outcome of the case other than the truth of the case and that justice should be had. And this process, now we go back to the teaching of the Mittler Rebbe, the original author of such teachings, which Rav Hillel basically is able to learn as the student, the devotee, to the teachings of the Mittler Rebbe, and flip around the reasoning process to explain to us in a way that's more digestible for us, that this process of extracting out wisdom from within the understanding one has already attained to the point one has a strong understanding, a comprehensible, tangible grasp on the matter, this can only be achieved when, in the case that I've mentioned, where party B has a complaint against party A, and Rav C or Dayan C is judging over the case, deciding it, trying to rectify the decision. But even though Rav C or Dayan C has a tremendous understanding of the case and other matters of Torah, still, for them to come to arbitrate over the case, to decide in a way which is righteous according to the standards of the Torah, they must engage in what goes back to the beginning of this sefer, of this book, of this teaching, Hasidic Discourse, Maimar, to the quality of Iyun, analysis, where Rav C or Dayan C must clarify and, so to speak, purify all the different particular aspects of this case where Party B is claiming Party A did something that hurt them financially. Now, what Rav Hillel wants us to know, that in the process that the Rebbe is talking about of Iyun, which is also known as meditation, contemplative, and yet very analytical Torah study, or in this case, law study. And I just want to make a parenthetical insertion here, bless your souls.
I think sometimes people perhaps might think about contemplation as something which is very ethereal and very easygoing, and perhaps to help a person with a static consciousness. Well, if a person wants to get a static consciousness through contemplation, well, then I would suggest that they use that type of perception of meditation as a contemplative experience, human experience, for reducing their anxieties. But when we're talking about wanting to cognitively fire on all cylinders and to excite in a very positive, most meaningful manner our nefesh ha-siklis, our human intellect, which is uniquely configured to our Tzelem Elokim, our divine image. Coming out of this, we shouldn't be surprised if we get very excited to pronounce, after coming to the proper conclusion of a Torah teaching, or as the judge would, Dayan C or Rav C might come to say at the end of the case, not that they are required to, but remember saying it was a tough case to judge over and they came to the solution and they feel satisfied that they rendered justice according to the eternal standards of Torah. Elohim Chaim Melech Olam, the living creator, the king of the universe, that they have participated in bringing relief to two parties. What happens in that process, blessed souls, for the person who is a level of analytical Torah study, in this case, in the case of Jewish law, where the scenario is not just something found on a page of Talmud or in a section of the Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, the eternal oral Torah tradition, that they are able, through the elucidation of their comprehension, to find out what was concealed before, and they are able to bring out from the concealment of, say, that case of Party B against Party A, demanding he get some sort of restitution financially, is that Rav C or Dayan C is able to extract out from concealment that which now is revealed. And it's done in a very clear fashion. And at that level of very elevated Torah analysis, Torah study, Limud HaIyun, this is considered to be the understanding within understanding. And from there, let's say in a case which is not involving a situation involving obligated or exempt from some sort of civil decision, civil case decision, let's say if it's in a matter of learning, just say like the oral Torah tradition that relates to Talmud, if a person, as a teacher of a class of Talmudic students, or even Hasidus, if they go deeper into it, even though they have some sort of mastery of the subject, are engaging in the understanding within the understanding of that matter, they are, he or she is able to give forth and wisely perceive on a more profound level, to bring out even a greater understanding, an even greater comprehension. But this type of comprehension, the Mittler Rebbe wants us to know, actually Rav Hillel wants us to know, is called the wisdom within understanding. Rav Hillel continues, for the action, the effect that we should not be surprised that wisdom can have on understanding is when there can be an illumination into one's previously earned comprehension. And many times that comprehension comes through a lot of sweat and toil, and a lot of thought and question and answering, and going to one's teachers and one's peers to get the perspective one needs. And what happens is there's born forth, there is a birthing process of a new comprehension completely different than what one had originally attained within their original first comprehension, precisely. But there's a level which even goes beyond that, blessed soul. The crown of your understanding is called the depth of your comprehension, which is also called the 50th gate. And this 50th gate, which is also, again, as mentioned before, called the depth of one's comprehension. And we define comprehension as being more elevated than just customary understanding, which is usually related to more superficial knowledge acquisition of whatever subject matter you're learning in Torah. The idea of the depth of the concept, the idea of the Sharnun, the 50th gate, is able to reach up into its root, as it exists not just in the depth of wisdom, but within the depth of one's understanding, not only just in the Omek of Bina, but in the Omek of Chochma. So basically, one attains a certain level of understanding, but one can access for more perception, more elevation of consciousness, to go into the wisdom, the wellspring of that wisdom that was feeding that comprehension, that understanding, that superficial knowledge acquisition that you were meritorious to receive, and we're tapping into something way beyond it. Now, the truth be known that when we talk about wisdom and understanding, which is also known in the Kabbalistic literature as Abba V'Ima, father and mother, are really like something which comes out from within the essence of your superconsciousness, which is called your Koach HaMashkil. And just like there is a root, a Shorash Koach HaChokhma, there is a root to the power of wisdom. Therefore, the agency of what you've attained through not just superficial knowledge acquisition and understanding, but comprehension, then tapping into the depth of your comprehension, which you've already identified by Rav Hillel as the Sharnun, the 50th gate, you're able to find you, he or she, any man or woman, children of all ages, because we're all children of the Most High, you are able to bring out, and meritorious to bring out, new perceptions as it is resonating and was originally embedded within the light of the wisdom of that concept. Meaning, a person can understand a completely different type of wisdom from what they've attained in the wisdom they are learning about right now. It's type of a exponential cognitive experience. Say, to go so deeply into mathematics that one can get a perception and a novel insight which can empower him or her to get a great insight in, say, biology. Or a tremendous insight that one attains in biology empowers one to master at some level some concept in trigonometry or to geopolitical systems. So intensely that one can learn from that geopolitical system how to take a success within their economic system and apply it to a small market economy, say like in your neighborhood, and see it come to fruition. Again, we're talking about an exponential jump in cognitive processing, perception of profundity, elucidation, understanding, and deep comprehension. And ultimately, and a real litmus test, if you really made that exponential jump, as it goes in your ascension, in your consciousness, cognitively speaking, is what can you implement from your newly attained open mind and open heart, cognitively speaking, into the most practical of mundane actions. For yourself and to exemplify for others and then have others come to realize they can also make deep, formidable changes in their life. As we conclude with today's humble presentation, which I know for many is probably material that one might have learned in other disciplines, but the way it's being expressed here, because I've used a lot of Hebrew today, to hopefully, again, to encourage you to learn Torah ultimately in its original language, the Lashon HaKodesh Hebrew. Concluding, like, it's known that, as Rav Hillel wants us to know, that it is known by all masters of intellect. We're talking about the wise, great teachers of creation, blessed souls. They all know that all of their first intellects are extremely uncompounded perception. However, from within those completely uncompounded perceptions, there is the giving over of the ability precisely that he or she, these great wise teachers, these mystics, these mekubalim, these rabbanim, these rabbanit, these tzaddikim, these tzaddikot, tzadkaniot, that they can come to understand in superior level after superior level, even deeper intellect, to the point where you can't even put a measure how deep can they understand it, as much can be understood by a human being. Of course, everything is known by the Almighty Creator, and nothing can replace the Creator's wisdom of creation, as Creator is the source of it. Therefore, Creator knows secrets that even we of flesh and blood, human beings, cannot comprehend. But we can, according to what we try to understand. Of course, it has to come with the blessings of the Most High. But what I'm trying to share with you today as we wrap up today's efforts, blessed souls, is that consciousness is something that you have to push the envelope on, or to try to open the envelope and see what's in the envelope, not guess on what's inside the envelope of your consciousness, not just have some sort of dreamy, ethereal, Pollyannish viewpoint. Well, every human being doesn't use enough of their intellect, so why should we use it anyway? The next guy, the next woman down the street from me doesn't seem to want to work on their cognitive development, so why should I? But if the teachings have reached your ears, blessed souls, and are hopefully penetrating into your right, left, back brain processing, and hopefully lighting a fire that's already been lit from before you were born in your blessed soul, to want to re-engage in these teachings that you were engaged in before you were born in the heavenly court before the Most High extracted out of his Kisya Kavod, his throne of glory, that this matter shouldn't be foreign to you. Even though perhaps the terms and the utilization of numerical values by me is something perhaps that you've never learned about or have only had a superficial novice perception of it, but that's okay. I'm not here to judge for you what you have to think. I'm encouraging that you can think and you can process and you can reason and you can get an inner understanding of creation much more than you were raised to grab onto, latch onto, and to live by. And unfortunately, for most of the human family experience, they're not raised in this type of culture to understand how godliness exists in the world. But the process of meditation is to bring that level of understanding of godliness to the point where you can perceive it at a level where actually that consciousness is a part of you, just as your eyes are a part of you, your digestive system is a part of you, your spinal cord is a part of you, your the ongoing billions and billions, even some say trillions of cells in your body are a part of you. You cannot separate yourself from these things, and therefore when you get to the point of meditation, and here you might hear some of the drilling, that you don't want to part from these things. And even if you have to put down the book or stop listening to the class or stop talking to other people about it, just like when you get hungry, you want more food. When you start to have this yearning to want to grow in your understanding of godliness, it wouldn't surprise me if you want to reach for more of these teachings. So we'll just end up today without the music. You're just going to hear that sledgehammer beating below my apartment. So we'll end with Ahava of Gorilach, one definite command of all of us. Badarchi nom darchi shalom, in a pleasant way, in a peaceful way, lahamshi b'ezrashem yisbreik, to continue with the Most High. You hear that drilling quite acutely right now. Sorry about that. There's nothing we can do about it. But we'll end up by saying that all these matters should be continued the way of a lahamshi b'ezrashem yisbreik, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High as that drilling gets more intense. And remember, you've got to be good. Why do you have to be good? Because Ateva Tov Lahetiv, it's the nature of the good to do good, and because the Creator is the source of your goodness. It's a matter of just reaching in and seeing what you're composed of. That goodness, which is the Creator's goodness, which manifests you into the creation. Take care, everyone.